No, he's running away from me. I have like the Black Death in my hand. And not the kind that chick likes either.
Hello and welcome to the That's Your Garbage podcast. This is episode 35. Today we are going to be talking about the Nikon D3100, the upcoming D3 video that Lorenzo is working on for the Wind Up Wizard, NBC's Olympics, the Oculus Rift, as well as Nexus 7 unavailability and Google Fiber. And lastly, music labels not sharing. Today we've got G, J, Lorenzo, and myself, Steve. We were hoping for a fuller house. That didn't pan out. But let's get going with speed round news.
Because we forgot Trevor. And like a
Yeah, we actually forgot.
Yeah, we actually forgot to arrange one of our contributors to get here.
It was kind of bad, but yeah. Whatever.
Speed round news.
We got news. Let's make it fast.
Oh, God.
No.
God.
All right. We're going to start with some game news. G's trying to figure out the timer because,
ready.
Were you ready? Are you ready for this?
I had it set up before I Googled Kelly Wells.
Okay. Well, that's fine. All right.
By the way, kids, don't do that.
Yeah. Don't do it.
No, do it with your mom in the room.
Your grandma in the moon.
Speed round news.
In the moon. Oh, I need more beer. Okay, let's start with some game news. I don't know if you guys noticed this week, but essentially there was a fake version of Infinity Blade 2 released on the Google Play App Store. Essentially, players who got this app, it was a free app on Google Play, so they downloaded this app, and then they were like, okay, I'm going to play the game. It's like, okay, no, you got to download assets for this game. But for those assets, you needed a fake currency called Tapjoy Points, which you needed to purchase or you needed to earn them in some other way. People who actually did shell over the Tapjoy Points, tapping the joy, they were met with a 1 gig download for something that just basically crashed. Now, this game has at this point been removed from the App Store, but I don't know.
Dumb people out there?
Yeah. I don't know. I found it kind of hilarious that it was actually on the App Store for more than a day. And by the way, if you do have this app on your phone still, because they're removed from the store doesn't mean you don't have it on your phone. Maybe you're like, oh, fuck, Infinity Blade, free? Sure. Delete it from your phone. It's probably malware. So, yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think this has for prospects for the Google Play Store? Recently, they've been having some trouble, especially with that Dead Trigger.
You know, maybe they should vet products to go up there slightly more than not at all.
Yeah.
Considering that this thing went up there and was clearly bullshit from the beginning.
It's like that guy who put up the Pokemon game.
Yeah,
basically. Pokemon it was Yellow. Basically like that.
Mm. Which would have been awesome. That would have been so good if it was real.
What platform was that for?
That was the iPhone.
That was on iPhone. It was actually the number one downloaded thing for like more than a day.
Yeah, a couple
of days. And people were paying for that. That wasn't
They were like, it doesn't work. Please patch. It doesn't work. Please patch. And then they were like, well, it doesn't work.
Proof that people don't think for even 2 seconds before they hit download.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Why did Nintendo suddenly give...
Like, by the way, Apple Nintendo money? Actually should do that.
Oh, yeah, they're stupid.
Like, they would make more money than God.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, why...
But they're too busy developing more stuff for their system that nobody wants.
Kingdom Hearts 7 or whatever is coming out now.
Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance.
Yes, exactly.
It's basically another Kingdom Hearts game that's going to make absolutely no effing sense, and you're going to have to play another 6 Kingdom Hearts games to figure out what the fuck's going on.
So it's Kingdom Hearts.
Before we get off this topic, I just want to say, I've sort of looked into iOS developing, and I know for a fact that Apple does have people that work with the apps you submit and approve them. And if they don't approve them, they'll actually send it back and say why. So there is a process there. I know that it's not perfect, and I'm just wondering what Google does in that respect.
Well, actually, I don't know what they did, but the funny thing about this whole situation was that everything that this said, it even linked to the official, like... the official Infinity Blade 2 website. Like, they went perfectly there to say, like, yeah, this is Infinity Blade 2.
Alright, next.
I think it's just because it's a more open platform. Anyways, yes, let's move on to the next story. Do you guys know PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale?
Yes, we talked about
it.
Alright, do you guys remember that whole... I don't know if you guys really followed this back in the day, but when Smash Brothers Brawl was coming out, there was this whole thing, oh, what character's going to be there? They had reveals.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. Turns out PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale is not going to have that anymore because thanks to a beta that was out where people started digging into the code, they found a bunch of unreleased characters or unrevealed characters in the game code. So I'm going to list off some of the characters here for you guys. These were the previously unconfirmed characters, and these were discovered by people from NeoGAF and Reddit digging through the game code. The game will include Dante, an evil version of Cole from... Dante from Devil May Cry, an evil version of Cole from Infamous, Nariko from Heavenly Sword, Raiden from Metal Gear Solid, Sackboy from Little Big Planet, Ratchet from Ratchet & Clank, Sir Daniel Fortesque from Medieval. I don't know if you guys remember that game.
Isn't that the guy with the skull head?
Yeah, it's like the skeleton in the PS1 game.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And Spike from Ape Escape. I only have one thing to say about this, and I'm pretty sure someone's going to get fired over this for like not taking these assets out of the beta. Do you guys agree with me there?
Yeah, that's like...
Someone's going to get killed.
Phenomenally stupid. This must have been done by a Japanese developer, because I mean...
Actually, no, it's done by an American developer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There were actually some other things revealed, and I'll just list them out now. There are some levels that were revealed, like a Bioshock Infinite level based on Columbia, some Uncharted stages, and a few other things. It's mostly stuff that you would expect. I'm actually kind of disappointed with some of the characters they listed here. I mean, like, yeah, there's stuff that you would expect, like Dante's... Like, Devil May Cry got its big start on the PS2.
Yeah, no, I can understand Dante. That sounds good. But, like, the guy from friggin' Medieval, like...
Well, that was a PS1 exclusive. Right. Like, that was actually published by Sony.
PS1, right. So what? We didn't have hair on our balls when that guy was, like, around.
I had hair on my balls.
All right, well, you're older than me, but I didn't have hair on my balls.
That's true.
I didn't know who Kelly Wells was, so...
the hair didn't need to be there. But yeah, I don't know. Some of these make sense, like Raiden from Metal Gear, Nariko, the Heavenly Sword character. They make sense. I just kind of wish they went more like they went more weird. I don't know.
Weird.
Yeah, like weirder characters. Like they did Parappa the Rappa. Like fucking.
Why isn't Parappa the Rappa in there?
No, he is in the game. But I'm saying put Pepsi Man in this fucking game. Just go fucking crazy.
What about Crash Bandicoot?
Where's Crash Bandicoot?
He's not in it.
You should just throw go-karts at people. You should just throw go-karts
I think the problem there is that
that's awesome.
Universal
that's
the rights
idea.
For that.
I like that.
Crash Bandicoot would be a good idea. I don't know, do you guys... I've asked this before, but do you guys like actually have any PlayStation-centered characters that you'd want in this game? Because at this point, like, I don't
know. No, because they're Final Fantasy characters, and anybody who like wants a Final Fantasy character in this game should get stabbed.
If they put Lightning in this game, I'm just not going to buy it.
Oh, yeah. That will write off the whole game for me.
Yeah.
No joke.
She'd be like, oh, this...
That bitch is the fucking devil.
You gotta save Cocoon, guys.
Yeah, okay. I have, to be honest, I have basically don't give a single fuck about
Let's put Terra.
If they put Terra, I'm in.
They can't put Terra because that was a Super Nintendo character.
Right, exactly.
Like, they could maybe get away with Cloud or Ares or...
Quistis.
I don't know about that.
Quistis.
Quistis. We're done, Quistis. Guys. Are porked.
I'm always porked.
That's true.
No. All right, let's move on to the next story.
No.
And this story involves Star Wars The Old Republic, which is going free-to-play this fall.
There's a great shock.
Yeah.
None of us saw that coming or predicted it loudly and frequently on this podcast.
Mm. There are some limitations. Apparently, you still have to buy the game, but as of late...
You still have to buy the game.
You still have to actually buy the game.
It's an $80 game. No.
But they're reducing the price of the game on Origin and in retail stores to $15.
Whoa.
And they're going to hold back some content and some like specific like interface features, apparently, to people who don't have a subscription.
Yeah, basically, you're only allowed to play Warzones like 3 times a week, which is like hilarious.
Listen, George has a ranch to upkeep.
Here's the simple problem. Nobody gives a single fuck about this game
Star Wars.
Yeah.
No, really. Like, look...
Why are we talking about Star Wars?
At the point in which you have to turn your MMO to free-to-play, it's already dead.
Unless you built it around that.
No,
unless,
right, but I said right. Turn. Like,
right.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
An MMO right. that develops a solid fan base will actually be able to, as starts off as a subscription model, will be able to stay in that model indefinitely. See, for example, EVE Online, which can still charge its customers subscription rates.
Mm.
All these years later, if you have to go free to play, that's basically like you might as well just sound the death knell. You might as well just shut down the servers because it's just the next
thing. They're already under a million subscribers.
Oh yeah, it's already dead.
And they haven't like done a proper server migration yet. So like, there's got to be servers with like 15 people on them just holding hands.
Who the fuck is still playing this game?
Nobody.
Seriously,
dude. Seriously, nobody. Like I.
Well, apparently there's under a million people.
World of Warcraft still has, I think, 6 million people playing.
That's because pandas, man.
Yeah, pandas are coming.
Because, fucking pandas.
That's because World of Warcraft is like crack. And once you get to the end of World of Warcraft, quitting is next to impossible because you spend so much goddamn time already.
It's the sunk cost fallacy.
And it's a Blizzard game with endgame.
Oh, there's actually endgame content. That's probably the other thing worth
Lots
noting.
Lots of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Stuff to do.
I haven't really played much World of Warcraft, so I got no experience.
Yeah, I've never
played. Does anyone want to talk about Star Wars The Old Republic anymore? Like, I've
got off. I would rather fart into the microphone.
There's nothing else to say.
Are you willing to do that right now?
Nobody's surprised. People are going to lose their jobs. I'll kill you. And it was a waste of time. And money. It was like $8 million.
For the record, people actually did lose their jobs.
More people are going to lose their jobs. I feel sorry for you guys, but like...
Brickatello's probably going to lose
his Star Wars. Up.
Anyways, let's move on.
No, they fucked up by choosing Star Wars to make an MMO. Continue.
All right. This last story involves...
Starship Troopers MMO. Kelly Wells MMO.
Kevin... what are you
That's
getting?
For life.
Oh, damn.
We've had the walk away.
I think you just named my future porn movie, which is going to be called Massively Multiplayer.
Oh man, that's pretty good.
Everybody's
two
plots, everybody.
Two just... to nine. There's not even a number one. It just starts at two.
Oh no! All right, last story for games. This involves Ubisoft and their DRM. Apparently, this was revealed thanks to a guy named a programmer named Travis Ormandy.
Sheesh.
Yes, yes. Apparently, major Ubisoft titles have a backdoor that can be used by malicious websites to take over your PC.
They're gonna backdoor you.
Yeah, basically, the Uplay service installs a plugin on your browser without warning the user, which pretty much allowed sites to exploit the plugin to gain access to your machine.
Oh, kind of like what Google did to Apple, but not as bad. Just saying.
This is worse.
It's way worse. But
no, this constitutes a full-on rootkit. This basically allowed them to execute arbitrary code on your computer without your permission.
Cool.
It basically means that their DRM technically constitutes a Trojan.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That was a good idea.
Yeah,
granted, I understand that Ubisoft is, like, the only good developer left. But, like, this is dumb. And they need to fix this shit.
Hmm. Yeah, because basically now I'm just going to go home and wait for them to show up in a cowboy outfit and tell me we're going to the backdoor rodeo to fuck up my computer.
There you go.
No, the only good Trojan is of the Olympic variety.
Hmm. Yeah. They have actually fixed this by the time this came out.
Make them gold.
This is the one thing I want to talk about. They have actually patched this. Essentially, if you start any of the games that have this sort of feature installed for the browser plugin, it will force patch and it will remove the exploit. And they have actually apologized.
Mm-hmm.
But this really shouldn't have been there to begin with. I mean, the DRM that Ubisoft employs already is fucking terrible. But, like, to have this kind of shit there, that's unforgivable.
It's yet more proof that digital rights management generally basically only exists for the purposes of shafting the end user.
That's basically how it works. Yeah. I do like how in Europe, though, that they actually decided... I don't know if we talked about it earlier, but in Europe they decided, or a judge decided, that the EULAs don't matter.
Yeah.
People who buy digital content own that content in Europe, and that people who provide digital distribution in Europe need to provide a way for people to resell that.
Yeah, which basically means, I think that effectively means you can't have DRM anymore. In Europe.
They'll still have it, but they'll have license transfer things set up.
We still live in the capitalist hell, anyway. Today.
Canada?
No, we live too close to the real capitalist hell.
Ooh.
Yeah, but they get Hulu
True,
Plus.
But still.
I'm talking about, like...
Russia?
Antarctica.
Antarctica? Those capitalist Antarcticans. All right.
There's just all these penguins throwing money around.
But, like, I give no fucks about your economy. Oh, we have a fish-based economy, guys.
The fuck is this? None of it?
Yes. Man, I feel bad for those people, none of it.
Could you imagine if we actually recorded a podcast and none of it?
I'd be cold.
No. Because you're having frozen none of it? Solid.
I'd be having none of it. You stole that joke. God damn it.
I did.
All right, let's move on to tech news.
I need to go over there.
This next bit of the story involves the Microsoft Surface tablet, which apparently they have announced. Well, they didn't announce it directly, but they have... G's doing some moving at this point in time. So he's slightly
distracted. I need to smoke. I'm hanging out with you people.
That's fine. I might start smoking.
You people.
You?
Set the pot to the kettle.
What do you mean, you people?
Yeah, said the pot.
Tech news.
Tech news. Microsoft Surface RT tablet will be releasing October 26th, simultaneously with the release of the desktop OS. It is actually expected to be priced at around $500 for the RT tablet. Well, this is them saying this is their iPad competitor. They're pricing it in line with the iPad, and then
that's the price of the tablet, not the OS.
Yeah, the OS is actually going to be priced at I think a $40 for upgrade. Or if you've purchased the Windows 7 machine within the last year, the upgrade will be $15. So they're actually being smart with the pricing.
I got a question. Never mind, I'll ask you later.
All right. The last bit of this story is that they...
I have a friend who has a pirated copy of Windows 7.
No, you need an actual real copy of Windows 7.
Okay, so he's going to just... he just has to pirate Windows 8 is what you're saying.
Basically.
Perfect, got it.
I mean, it's not like it's... Okay, yeah, you
I don't know why you'd want it, but like let him finish the story. Anyways,
there's one more point to this. They said that the pro version of the RT or of the Windows Surface tablet, which is basically going to be an Ultrabook with... that's in the tablet form without a keyboard, but they have that whole fucking folding thing. They're expecting that to come out 90 days later, and they're saying that it's going to be in line with Ultrabook prices. So if I were to guess, like, Ultrabooks range from around $700 to $1,200, so probably in between there somewhere. I'm guessing about $1,000. But this wouldn't be a tablet. This would basically be a PC that is in a tablet form factor. Like, you could literally run PC games and shit on this thing.
How heavy is it going to be?
I don't know how heavy it's going to be. They said it's probably about the same as an iPad, more or less. I know I have the actual things, but whatever. I don't know. Are you guys excited for the RT at all? I mean, at this point, I don't really give a shit because, I don't know, after using pretty much the Google Nexus 7, I don't really see a need to go to another OS market. I mean, the iPad is fun to use, but I honestly find it kind of too heavy, and the Nexus 7 has got a good form factor. Do you guys think they could compete in the tablet market even if they try to match... I don't know if they can match Apple.
I think this is the prototypical example of Microsoft arriving to a marketplace a day late and a dollar short.
Yep. Yeah.
Because the Nexus 7 has moved the game on completely, I believe. And I think that our story coming up later will be some direct evidence to that effect.
Definitely.
I don't think anyone is going to want this kind of a tablet by the time it comes out.
There's definitely a danger of that. I think if they were smart, that they would, what they would do is they'd undercut the iPad on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, by a large margin.
No, they could probably get away with like $100 margin.
Yeah, that's a large margin.
Yeah,
$100 cheaper than an iPad is great.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's the price.
Because honestly, the iPad is $100 too expensive for me. I can't justify it by like $100.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am actually interested in the Pro version, mostly because like it's basically like a tablet, but also fucking PC at the same time. Like, I think that idea is kind of cool. But
yeah, well, at least it'll be one device that actually justifies the atrocity that is the Windows 8 interface.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Far be it from me to say, but, you know, people don't want to use a fucking goddamn tablet interface on a desktop. I will tell you this as somebody who currently has a Windows 7 gaming PC.
Let's finish.
Yeah, let him finish.
I'm not upgrading to Windows 8 under any circumstances, because why?
Annoying.
All right, we're going to continue on with the news stories. We got more stuff from Microsoft. This involves them launching a new email service called Outlook.com.
Oh, fuck.
Apparently, the service is not just a redesigned version of Hotmail, but a new service entirely. It's got less ads, it's got unlimited email storage, and it's got built-in Skype integration. Now, the crazy thing is you actually could just use your Hotmail account with this. So you could log into you could use your existing Hotmail or MSN or fucking Live account, log into the service, and then it'll transfer you over to that, and then whatever.
Does anyone still use that?
That was what I was going to ask, because I don't use my I use my Hotmail to basically point anything that I think will spam the fuck out of me into that.
Yeah, I basically use that for when I download porn.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You actually put in your email to porn sites?
He puts in that email to the porn sites.
Yeah.
I don't put anything.
When I subscribed to Abby Winters for like a month after Lorenzo told me about it,
that site's the best. Well, it was. Mm. Then it moved to Amsterdam and became shit. Anyway, point was, I don't understand why you would try and go with Outlook branding for your online email service, because Outlook is literally the worst email client in the history of the universe.
I agree with you there.
And Outlook, I couldn't Outlook despise it anymore if I tried.
I honestly think Hotmail has a worse name.
Okay, granted. But, like, Outlook is the largest pile of crap in the history of email clients. Hmm. So you're going to make your online service now look like that. Yeah.
And also, why does POP3 still exist?
Because some people who aren't pikers like myself like to have actual good email programs that download the email directly to the program and not use online email.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I on Apple devices in particular, because Apple's email client is actually awesome, mm-hmm. I can get all of my email, be it from Gmail, be it from my own domain name, be it from the site's email. I get all of it in the same program, and it'll automatically filter it based on whatever presets I want.
Yeah.
So it integrates it all into one place. So that's why POP3 should still exist.
But I thought IMAP could still do that.
IMAP.
Oh, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Right, all right. Fine. I thought you meant like...
No, like, I was criticizing Hotmail.
All right.
Because...
Shit.
I mean, like, everybody pretty much made their first email on Hotmail, right? But there was no alternative at the time.
Yahoo.
Right. And now...
And then you got bored
you're right.
Of it, and you
you're
made
right.
another one. Then you got bored of it, and you made another one.
Anyway, IMAP.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad they're trying to compete, because you need more competition, but, like, don't know what they're doing.
It's Windows.
All right, this last tech news story, and I guess it's only tech news in the... I don't know. It involves the internet, and it also involves the United States of America.
Again.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
The, a former NSA official has recently stated that the agency has been collecting Americans' web data and compiling it into dossiers. This guy's name is William Binney. I think I'm pronouncing it right. He actually left the department in late 2001 when it became apparent to him that the NSA was going to use the 9/11 attacks as an excuse to launch a massive data collection program on people in the United States that they had been planning previously, but they didn't really have any reason to do so. There's also a lawyer, Alex Abbo, he's an attorney, Alex Abbo. I think I'm pronouncing his name wrong. I apologize. He works for the ACLU. He stated that there are actual loopholes in U.S. law right now that allow the NSA to collect various amounts of data on Americans without them actually being targets for anything, and that, like, they're pretty much doing this. Now, the NSA director he denied these claims, but...
Of course, yeah, well...
William Binney was like, yeah, he's basically, like, playing around with his words to make it sound like they're not doing it, but, like, they're fucking doing it.
Okay. My first thought on this story, I would like to know... I would like to start setting an over-under pool on how long before this Benny character ends up having
Burn
some
notice?
Sort of tragic accident.
Yeah. Burn notice.
Or disappearing and ending up in Gitmo.
Well, it hasn't been just him. Like, I think he was on the panel at the more recent the convention. Or I don't
no,
know
right, but
Death
I mean,
Club?
Like... His ass I mean, it's a completely different thing when people in the general public say stuff like this, and when a former NSA agent says something like this, because people might actually believe the former NSA agent, and the NSA doesn't like that. You might notice, if you actually go and think about it, that there are lots and lots and lots of books and interviews and all sorts of shit about how the CIA works inside, but there's actually almost nothing about the NSA. They are very good at keeping their secrets, and they don't like having their dirty laundry aired in public. So I'm actually really amazed that this guy actually had the stones to just go out there and say, yep, they were doing it. I mean, anyone with two brain cells to rub together should have figured out that the NSA is basically spying on everybody, and they don't give a fuck about what the laws say. Not even a little bit. So...
They got the loopholes.
They don't care, even if the loopholes didn't exist. I mean, like, you know, I mean, at one point Congress tried to ask them what they were doing with a spying program, and they answered that it would be actually breaking the privacy of the people they were spying on to reveal what they were doing with the spying program. So they basically told the Congress and the Senate to go fuck themselves, and that they weren't answering their questions.
So basically Congress is worthless, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, yes, but that's for other reasons. What I mean is, like, the NSA is going to do whatever it wants anyway. They don't care what the laws are.
Mm.
So, you know...
It's a shame. It's just a shame. I mean, honestly, people deserve better than that, you know?
Well, if they wanted better than that, they would vote for better than that. They don't vote for better than that, so they don't deserve better than that.
Honestly, who are they going to vote for at this point to make it better?
Well,
than
no,
that?
No, granted.
They'll keep voting for the
Please.
Tea Party.
John McCain.
Please.
If they keep voting the Tea Party, they're going to end up with crazies.
Okay, my two cents, before we move on, is disturbing, but not surprised.
Okay.
Right.
Fair enough. That's actually all the news we have for this week. All the news in tech, all in the news in games that I gave a fuck about to mention.
All right, let's talk about the Nikon D3100.
All right, so I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast previously. I think I might have, but I have been mentioning it to the other guys on the site that I've been growing exceedingly tired of point-and-shoot cameras and
particularly with digital point shoot cameras, the quasi three second delay between when you press the shutter and when the actual photo gets taken, because I've missed out on a lot of great shots that way. And in general, I just wasn't really happy with the level of performance that I was getting out of point and shoot cameras anymore. So both for my own purposes and for the site, I figured it was time to start investing in a DSLR. So I did a little comparison shopping and looked at all the different entry-level DSLR cameras that were available. And essentially, I mean, your options go along. There's a Sony A-something model. There's the Panasonic Lumix K-R or K-X. There's the Canon Rebel T3. And there's the Nikon D3100. And I did some comparisons between all these different cameras and found that most of the comparison reviews essentially all rated the D3100 as the best camera for the in that price bracket. So I went out and took a look at one today. Generally speaking, in Canada at any rate, they tend to be available at $579.99 for the kit, including the standard lens. And but I actually happened to stumble upon a sale at Future Shop that was $50 off the normal price, so I got it for $529.
That's not bad.
And yeah, that puts it down to the same price as the Canon Rebel T3, and it's better than the T3. So it was a good value. I brought it home, took a few test shots with it, and was actually completely and utterly blown away at the abilities of this camera. It's a 14 megapixel camera. And it's got a very fast shutter speed. And actually, one of the things that was pointed out in reviews about this camera is that it's got a much faster shutter speed than any of the competitor entry-level DSLR cameras, which is really important to me, because being able to take pictures quickly between when I press the button and when the picture gets taken is a good thing. And it's also good for any sort of action scenes, like if you had a sporting event or whatever, because it can take a lot of pictures in succession really quickly. So, I mean, I was really impressed with that. And the other thing that I was really impressed with is there's a guide mode on this camera, because this camera is meant for entry-level DSLR users who haven't used the DSLR camera before. It has a guide mode that has an easy level and an advanced level for setting the different settings on the camera based on what type of shooting you're doing. So in the easy version of guide mode, you can pick what you're doing with it, like if you're taking landscapes outside, or if you're taking close-ups of something, and it'll sort out the rest of the settings for you. But there's also an advanced version of that guide mode, which will let you fine-tune all the individual settings around it. So it's really good for entry-level DSLR users who aren't familiar with manually setting all the different options on a high-end camera. Overall, I'm really happy with it. I think it's a really good...
freaking useless with it.
Yeah, really good value for the money. And I hope you guys are going to enjoy the content produced by this camera on the site, because I'm going to be using it for site stuff as well.
So yeah. Pretty much, I'm pretty sure, high-definition cosplayer pictures.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be the first thing you're going to see.
And yeah. we'll both be rocking our DSLRs at Fan Expo, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have used it for taking pictures. Unfortunately, I couldn't actually use the camera to take pictures of the unboxing of the camera. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would have.
That's amazing.
But I will use it for when I actually get my Nexus 7, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. I will take unboxing photos with this.
For sure. And you know what? I just want to point out that there's nothing better than taking your first few photos with a DSLR. Because it's like night and day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like...
it's amazing.
It's not even... it's not
such
even,
a rush.
Like, you know, they say something's not even in the same ballpark. This isn't even the same sport as point-and-shoot cameras.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a completely different experience.
Honestly, point-and-shoot cameras, they're kind of in trouble nowadays. Because for the most part... most point-and-shoot cameras aren't even as good as what you'd find on, like, most common cell phones nowadays.
Mm.
Like, the iPhone actually has a very good sensor on the camera. I mean, it's nothing even close to a DSLR, but for a camera phone, it's very fucking good. Even, like, the Samsung Galaxy S2 and the S3, they have very good cameras on them.
Well,
but, like, looking at the difference between these and those, it's like, it, once again, it's still night and day.
I mean, like, the big thing for me
is... why would you buy a point-and-shoot camera when you have a phone?
Right? Exactly.
Right. Point-and-shoot cameras... the delay between when you push the shutter button and when the actual photo gets taken is one big problem. The other is that they tend to hold the shutter open for longer than you would like. Mm-hmm. And so it's very, very difficult to get not blurry photos out of a point-and-shoot camera. Whereas with a DSLR, because the shutter speeds are much faster, you can actually get pictures, easily get pictures with really crisp clarity, even when you're holding the camera without putting it on a tripod. I mean, as G would know from us taking photos while we're filming War Game Wednesday, you don't use a tripod, the picture comes out like blurry with a point-and-shoot camera. So it's
a don't buy a CyberShot, guys.
And yeah, because the sensor is bigger in a DSLR, you can play more with focus, mm-hmm, which what you showed me was like you were doing it right away.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. You have a lot of talking to do today.
Wow.
We're going to move on to
I know that's a tragedy for me. I mean, I'm generally so circumspect with my words.
Yeah. As soon as you said circum, you could have gone places.
I was trying to bust out something that would send you to a dictionary. I mean, you gotta have at least one word that expands the vocabulary on a weekly basis.
Thesaurus.com, guys.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so tell us about this D3 video you're working on.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that I'm working on, by the time this podcast is up on the site, the video should already be up on the site, notwithstanding the several attempts it's taken to get the thing fucking uploaded to YouTube, goddammit. But I basically decided to make a video explaining what a wind-up wizard build, or also known as Critical Mass / Wicked Wind wizard build is, and demonstrating some gameplay with it in Act 2 and Inferno. Because I thought it would be useful to give people who play Wizards in D3 a better idea than you get from just reading text about what the build is.
Yeah, it's good to
see it. Right, to see it in action, to see what it plays like, to see if people would be interested in playing it.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's really fun. I think it's fun to the point that I really wouldn't want to play any other sort of Wizard build at this point, because I actually have fun playing this build. And it's far more rewarding to me than spending all my time running away like a bitch in kiting builds, which just isn't really for me. Because you can't really in this game do the kind of glass cannon mage that I like to do in other games, where you have so much damage output that you don't have to run away or have any health or armor because they die before they can hit you. That doesn't just really work in Inferno in this game. So, anyway, I made this video, and one of the unique things about it is that I recorded the audio while I was playing. So I have a couple of hilariously stupid deaths, because it's kind of hard to play Act 2 of Inferno and talk at the same time, because it kind of dilutes your concentration. But I think that actually adds to the entertainment value of the video. So if you want to learn a little bit about this build and also see me die like a moron a couple of times, check it out when it's up on the site, and let me know what you think.
So I have a question for you now. Mm-hmm. A few podcasts ago, we were talking, actually quite a few, like when D3 came out, we were saying ultimately with these games, there comes a build where it's the build, and if you don't use it, you're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Or inefficient, right?
Yeah.
Would you say this is the build for the wizard at this point? In your opinion.
It's with wizards, it's not quite that straightforward. Because the first question that you have to ask with wizards is, how much gold do you have to invest in gear? Because there are builds that are more optimal in terms of clearing through content faster, but they're much more gear-intensive than this build is. You can get started with this build in Act 1 of Inferno for like a couple of million gold total, mm-hmm, to get your character outfitted to be able to do Act 1 in this build. Whereas like something like a Perma Archon build, which is sort of a variant of the same idea of using criticals to reduce your cooldowns, requires a phenomenal higher level of gear to be able to get away with. Right? So there isn't one golden build for the wizard, because what builds are available to you really depends on how jacked your gear is.
Right.
Right? The more jacked your gear, the more options you have available to you. They've sort of kind of concentrated down to about four builds that are out there, but they're actually all four have their own strengths and weaknesses, so I'm actually sort of impressed by that. And I'm also impressed by the noises I've been hearing from Blizzard over the last few weeks that they intend to deal with underused abilities by buffing them as opposed to nerfing the shit out of whatever is popular. Which is really good, because to be perfectly frank at this point, if they nerfed the Wind-Up Wizard build, I would probably stop playing, mm-hmm, because I actually am having fun playing in this build. And if I'm not having fun, I'm not going to play. So
cool. Maybe they'll actually make monks good.
I don't know about that.
Actually, I want to thank Blizzard for warning me last Thursday that they were going to do a patch this Tuesday. So that was awesome, because I really needed to know that last Thursday.
Yeah, you did.
No, actually, news. No, that's important. Warning in advance.
That's a lot of advance, though.
Right, but they got to do that, because
I mean, if you're a hardcore character, you don't want to be in-game. You want to know in advance.
That's true.
And there was actually a few hardcore characters who died when they fixed the wizard exploit, because they're just like, okay, we're taking it down now. And they're like, whoop, disconnected.
That's why I will play hardcore, actually, is purely because of lag or server shutdowns killing me. I would be way too enraged.
Mm-hmm. I'm always raged.
Also, I wish they would just, when they say that the patch is going to be in this time range, I wish they would just tack on 3 hours instead of getting to the end of their range and then saying, we're going to take 3 more hours.
Oh, I hate that.
Would be nice.
And it's every single fucking time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter what game it is, too. It's not just Blizzard. Every fucking game is like, yeah, we're going to patch. It'll be down for like an hour. Yeah, good fucking
yeah. Yeah. I remember specifically
just fuck off for the whole day and play something
else. I remember specifically this company called Gravity, who ran Ragnarok Online, or at least the English version of Ragnarok, the North American version of Ragnarok Online. When they implemented like one of the big major updates that happened in that game, where they added like second classes, so there was like branching paths to the classes. Like, okay, yeah, we're going to add these. It's going to be a 2-hour maintenance. No problems. You guys will be playing in no time. Mm-hmm. Next day, they're like, okay, we can't get this fucking, the content updates to work. We're going to delay this patch 2 weeks. Sorry, it took us an entire day to figure we couldn't do it. Fuck. No, they gave us all free time because of that, though.
Dude, even like, this thing, this just fucking baffled me. It's like, just stunned me. I bought the Secret World through Origin. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to go buy a PC game in any beginning.
Well, they would have made you go through Origin anyways.
Right. So I bought it on Origin. Downloaded the game and maybe took 10 minutes. It was, like, really fast.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I will give Origin one thing. They do have good service.
Oh, yeah. Installed the game, less time than it took to download it. Tried to launch the game, patch took fucking, like, a day.
That's an MMO for you.
A day.
And that was your one day off, right?
I was like, well, I'm going to play this game for the website and do a review. Yeah, fuck you. You're going to do shit.
Do they not have that thing? Like, I know World of Warcraft has it now and Diablo has it, where like if it downloads a certain amount, you could start playing. But
No. So it doesn't It says like you're downloading 26 gigs of patch.
Ha! Wow.
And on Roger's internet, that's like half your fucking thing.
I think it was 8 gigs or some shit. 8 gigs, and it was like
a patch.
It was the better part of my life.
Patch.
Yeah,
I literally started replaying Mass Effect 1 waiting for the patch.
Did you beat Mass Effect?
No, I'm like halfway through.
Oh, okay.
All right. J and G are going to talk to us about the Olympics.
The Olympics?
Very, very distinct,
you know what,
angles
this is,
here.
The distinct angle? Angle?
And you won't be surprised by G's angle.
I actually have not watched the Olympics at all. I've just been following this whole fucking shitstorm on like the internet about people complaining how NBC decided to completely delay any live coverage for any like event that matters whatsoever. And you know, if it has an American on it, they might show it live, but for the most part, they'll delay it 9 hours. They'll even report on it on their fucking nightly news before they actually show it on fucking television.
Yeah.
They remove specific parts of the opening ceremonies.
They removed something mentioning like terrorism or some shit.
Yeah, they removed an entire section of the opening ceremony that was about the London bombings, because apparently Americans don't need to know that there were terrorist attacks in London, because terrorists only attack the US, apparently.
I remember what they specifically said, though, was that Americans can't identify with it. If anything, Americans can totally identify with a terrorist attack on one of their major cities.
Well, no, they can't identify because they're, like, not Americans and therefore aren't people.
NBC is literally retarded.
Yeah.
They're literally retarded.
I hate them.
But my favorite thing about this whole thing, there was a specific guy on Twitter. I actually can't remember his name right
now. Batman.
It's not Batman.
It was...
Lucius Fox.
I built a reactor. That... Sorry.
Don't do it.
Don't go there.
It's a dark road.
I don't even know.
Are you actually trying to look up the guy's name?
I'm
while...
trying to look at it.
No, we're the worst podcast ever.
I had it, but then I deleted it.
This is literally the most unprofessional thing I've ever seen on this podcast since I've seen G speak.
I'm not professional.
I literally talk about porn stars for the entire night.
I know on the very first podcast I said I was the professional. That was a terrible lie.
Clearly.
No, I'm trying to figure out the guy's name. Okay, the guy's name was Guy Adams. Essentially, he is a Los Angeles-based correspondent. And he was basically bad-mouthing NBC. And they were like... Well, no, the specific thing
Burn
was...
Burn notice?
They basically complained to Twitter saying that this guy's said in a tweet the emails of one of the NBC executives. And the whole thing, the terms of service on NBC is like, oh, you can't give out people's personal emails. But this wasn't a personal email that no one knew. This was a public email listed on the NBC website. So it's not like it's not like he, this was like hidden insider information that he fucking exposed to people, but they went to try to get him, they basically to silence him because
like, I think the basic point here is that NBC's coverage of the Olympics is a laughable joke.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't show anything live, and what they do show tape delayed, they basically cut out everyone that isn't an American, and that's pretty much it.
That's literally the exact opposite of the point of the Olympics.
Right.
Yeah, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know,
we have American games.
I mean, we're spoiled in Canada because our networks over here show every single event live. Because
they have nothing else better to show anyways.
And because Uzbekistan has more medals than us.
Yes, they do.
Listen, man.
Maybe not now. Maybe we're even now.
I think you should consider that
aware,
with the pride, though.
You are aware that this is the Summer Olympics, yeah. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Listen,
right.
I'm not even mad. Four bronzes? I don't give a fuck. That's
how
amazing.
Let me ask you. How many medals does Sweden have? Or no. Norway?
No.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we excel in winter sports because it's winter here a large part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, and you know, I mean, I don't understand people who bitch about stuff like that because it's like, look, you compare us to, you know, like, you know, how many medals big countries get. It's like, we have 30 million people. They have, you know, the States has 300 million. China's got 1 billion. It's a bit of a deeper recruiting pool for Olympic talent.
Yeah, basically.
You know?
But the support that the Chinese government gives to their Olympians is astounding.
Yeah, dude, I saw some freaking Chinese gymnast today, and I was like, whoa.
Okay, right, but, you know.
She was also probably
12. We also elect people.
Yeah, it was like a team of, 12 crack professional gymnasts just made me feel like a fucking ape.
Well, listen.
I had a hard time walking back to my office because I was like, I'm a fucking...
Well, if we want...
The bitches were flying.
Can you...
Sorry, yeah, talk.
Thanks. If we want more support for our Olympic athletes, we should make that clear to our governments that they should do more to support Olympic athletes.
You're a big
absolutely
advocate
right
of democracy.
Well, I mean,
look,
if we vote for people who don't believe in publicly funding anything, we can't turn around and then complain when they don't fund our athletes enough for them to actually be competitive on the world stage.
That's true.
Well, I argue that you can still complain because you're an, moron and you don't know what you're complaining about. But
right. But you understand my point.
Yeah, your point is
people can complain about anything. People complain that they don't have enough lettuce on their Big Macs or too much lettuce on their Big
don't
Macs.
Don't even get started
that
on
even,
food.
What goes on there doesn't even constitute lettuce.
Yeah.
Or beef.
Yeah. That's,
or bread.
It's like plastic lettuce shavings. It's like how your mom has that plastic fruit bowl on your table. That's the shit that's
there's a company called, this is the biggest tangent ever, but I'm going to wrap up this tangent.
It's
right?
A TYG podcast.
There's a company there's a company called Grade A Beef, so they can say that this is made by, you know, this is Grade A
this
beef.
Is Grade A Beef, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true.
There's also a company called 100% Beef.
Yeah.
This is 100% Beef.
That's the one with his dick.
Oh,
fuck. Oh, speaking of Olympics and dick.
No,
that's what
no,
it comes with.
No, that's
please.
Kobe Beef.
So it gets beaten, is what you're saying. Oh, I had to hit it with the shovel. All right,
speaking of Olympics and dick, you got
to
chime in.
I don't think that's a good way to start.
No, it is. It's great.
Okay, but basically, I don't know. I'm not going to even tell you guys' name because I don't remember it, and I'm not going to look it up on my laptop because I'm not Jay. So basically, some guy,
I'm not
some fucking boss on the American English Olympic team. I think he was I guess it's shooting, right? Like with the rifle and. That's the sport. The
target shooting? I don't know what they actually
anyway,
call
so the
that.
Anyway, so the guy basically walks around with a rifle shooting targets and wins medals.
Yeah.
Basically. Anyway, so that event was over on the first day of the Olympics. And they were like, well, pack up your shit and head out of Olympic City because, no reason for you to be here for the rest of the Olympics.
I should note for the record that this is referring to the Sydney Olympics or?
No. This is this Olympics.
Oh, no, this was... No, I thought I saw this story. Oh, anyway.
But the guy remembers... I was getting there.
Right.
From the Sydney Olympics that the party, goes the whole time.
Yeah.
So you don't pack up your shit and leave because, there's this crazy party that, just happens in Olympic City. And there's no press inside the Olympic City. You just
Olympic
fuck
Village.
There's
yeah.
just
yeah.
Olympians
yeah.
inside the Olympic
you
City.
You just do whatever you want. And there's nobody there to, paparazzi you. So, you want to pull a Kristen Stewart and cheat on people, no one's going to know. Twilight reference, guys. There
nice.
Okay. Anyway, so...
Oh, yeah, I heard about
that.
You
have no right to live. Anyhow, continue.
Oh, I'm so happy about that. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, so this boss basically, was there, and he didn't want to go home because he knew it was going to be awesome. So he gets, a couple of his, shooting buddies, and he's like, hold on a minute. And he goes to the cleaning lady who's, cleaning because they're supposed to be leaving this house. and says, listen, turn around, and I'm going to jimmy the door lock, and we'll just, you know, here's some money, go. She's like, okay. So this like chick lets him stay in this house where he's no longer supposed to be. And it's like a four-bedroom house, and him and his dudes are like occupying one room in this massive house. So people from other teams that got told to leave just went to his house. And this guy is basically running a brothel in the Olympic Village. Literally.
It just turned into
like mass orgies in his house. He's like, I went to bed, and the like Swedish 100 meter relay team just walked out of a bedroom in the morning. What are you going to do with the like the females like 100 meter relay team in the morning?
Can't chase them. Too bad.
I know what I'm going to do. But like
but I mean, you know, the context...
This guy's a hero!
Right, the context for the story is, though, that at previous Olympics, I think it was at the Sydney game.
Yeah, the Sydney one was where they were like, not enough
condoms. Right. They ordered 70,000 condoms for the Olympic Village and ran out in 2 weeks.
Like,
less than 2 weeks.
That should be
70,000 condoms. They actually had to up the order to 100,000 going forward because of the amount of egregious shagging that goes on after all the, after people have finished their various events.
When you're that fit, your sex drive is fucking peak.
Well, I mean, a lot of it also is that a lot of these are professional athletes who've essentially been so focused on training that they have no social life.
True. Yeah, it's like military.
And so given 2 weeks where once they've finished their event, they've got a couple of weeks around a bunch of other people that understand what they've been through.
The pressure.
And are also similarly fit as they are. It's like time to go wild. Yeah. It is on in a manner approximating a Muslim religious festival.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah. I'm just, I don't know why it's not a sport. Kelly Wells would win.
Fuck. You know, maybe she's there.
She's there. She's slut of the games.
Whose room did the Swedish fucking 100 meter?
I like the picture for this news story as well because it was the Olympic rings but made with 5 different colors of condoms.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's great.
Yeah. Telling you, man.
That's awesome.
That's great. Do what you gotta do, guys.
Yeah, go for it.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Just it's your time.
Michael Phelps he doesn't even have to do anything anymore.
He just stands there with his dick out and people just blow him.
No, he got his 2 medals and now he's the greatest Olympian ever. The most decorated Olympian ever as of today.
Really?
Yeah, he beats
There hasn't been someone else who got more than 2 medals?
No, total medals earned in the Olympics. He beat some woman from Germany from 1910 or something.
Oh God!
And now he's it.
She's coming back.
All he has to do is spend the rest of his time in the Olympic Village, standing there with his dick out, getting hoovered, so he can become the most hoovered Olympian ever. Either.
Yep. While he's wearing them off.
That's right. He'd be like, "Kiss the medals, bitches."
While they're all hanging, okay.
All right. Hang them off of his dick.
Thank you.
It's an Olympic wreath.
Wow.
Okay, let's move on to some tech.
That's horrible.
Some gaming and tech talk. I'm assured that when you guys spoke about E3, you didn't talk about this.
It's because we didn't.
All right. So it's called the Oculus Rift. And it's basically a head-mounted display.
It's like a sci-fi story.
It's a VR device that is targeted at the gaming industry. The hardware pioneer behind it, his name is Palmer Lucky.
I bet it's Palmer.
All right.
Or in Japan, Lucky Palmer.
But the guy who was at E3 selling it was computer graphics guru John Carmack.
Yeah.
Technical leader of id Software.
There you go.
Thank you.
Doom, Quake.
Yeah.
Rage?
Yeah. So right now the device is basically a mishmash of shit that the hardware guy got together to make the Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
What
so
they
like
wanted.
Off the shelf existing different systems that he combined.
He calls it a kit.
Yeah.
And right now he's selling these kits. They want to make a business of it and make them sleek and integrated and, so they're looking for a market, right? And what they're doing now is he's taking the Doom 3, the BFG edition.
The new sort of slight tweak on Doom 3.
Right. And he basically planted that in the Oculus Rift. And he's saying, hey, check out like all this shit we did. Like pre-warping, like he's taking into account
that the human field of vision is about 180 degrees, and shit at your peripherals is going to look a little warped compared to what's in front of you. And so he has this technology called pre-warping, and there's all this other... He's basically saying, like, this is the revolution, and this is where it starts, but I'm not sold. So I want to know...
So John Carmack's not sold, or you're not sold?
I'm not sold.
Because I know John Carmack was sold. I mean, we didn't talk about this on the E3 podcast, but we did... I knew of its existence. From what I heard, he basically had all these parts basically jumbled together, and he had, like, a duct-taped fucking VR headset ready for people to test out.
Yeah, it's not very graceful looking, but what do you guys think?
Whatever, it's, like, in testing.
They're saying this is the future of immersive virtual reality in-game.
I think it's a cool idea, but I don't see it being a mass market thing. I think it's probably going to be, like, a gimmick like 3D was. And I feel bad for... I mean, the guy makes good stuff, but, like, like, seriously, no one's... Who's going to buy into this?
I don't know.
I mean...
Do you have to, like, actually walk around?
No.
So you just sit on your couch and it's just glasses.
You just turn your head.
It's a headset, right? So, basically, all you see is the environment you're in the game. You don't have to, like, literally walk to play. I watched the video.
Okay, as long as that's not what you have to do.
But it like, takes into account... Yeah, you have to turn your head and shit. Mm. You have to, like, turn and shit.
I mean, Sony actually has a product sort of like this.
Like a swivel chair?
No, like, the guy was standing. And he's shows him, like, in Doom 3. With the shit... Pretty shitty graphics to be immersed in a... Anyway, that's
what
I'm
saying. Doom 3. That came out, like, 2003.
He's walking through it. He's, like... Sort of moving and shooting stuff. I don't know. Like, how well did Kinect do? And it's not the same thing.
I have one now. Right. And it's bad. That's a long story. I can't explain. But I have one. And it's bad.
There's no time to explain? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to talk about it on, like, a microphone. But it's,
The Kinect sold well.
Yeah.
But it's bad.
Does that, like, whoa.
You should try.
Like, virtual reality, a VR headset like that is something that I guess could be made to work. If you can get it technologically to a level where you can display relatively modern level graphics on it, and
I don't have to stand. The standing thing's just not gonna.
I think they pretty much already got that down packed. I mean, I know Sony has a product that's basically the same idea as this, except it doesn't have the same range of vision, where it's basically just like glasses that have two,
screens.
I think 720.
Yeah, see, I don't mind it being like a headset and that's all I see and whatever. I just don't want to have to stand. Let me sit down. Let me control it with a joystick and turn.
A joystick or a mouse keyboard.
To look with my head, that's fine.
Yeah.
But like,
I could see Flight Sims doing really well with this.
Well, I could see all sorts of games. Any sort of first-person game.
First-person shooters is becoming
way
better.
Any first-person game, right? Where it's like, I could see that adding to the immersion a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's actually possible, but... Given the kind of game that they're putting on it to test it, I think that this might be a case of them running out ahead of the technology just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the technology's there.
But
it's interesting that you say that, because the first thing he said in the video was people tried to do this like 15 years ago, and it just wasn't there.
No,
Virtual Boy?
Not even close.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, at this point, it's like, if they can generate enough interest to get like Kickstarter funding going for doing this the right way...
Mm-hmm.
It could be really interesting. I'm actually kind of interested to find out how to keep track of this project and see how it goes.
Just for the record, Palmer, the hardware guy, revealed that he is talking with Valve, Bethesda, Epic, Crytek, and Unity about a consumer version of the headset to be developed in 2013. And apparently, Valve is diving into wearable computing. It's likely that they're working with the Oculus Rift, and existing games like Left 4 Dead 2 and Portal 2 might be experienced in a different way.
Left 4 Dead would be fun with that, though. That'd be crazy.
Smoking. So,
those freaking bastards.
I do like playing as smokers, though.
So much fun.
Especially when you get to drag people into flames.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I don't
like?
You
know how many times you could just win by just being... Like, one guy as a smoker could win an entire fucking match.
Yeah.
He's good.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's jack fucking busted.
The thing that bugs me about this Oculus Rift, or, like, VR gaming in general, is I just think... I don't think about me playing, but I think about watching somebody playing.
Yeah,
like, sitting there with a fucking thing on their head.
Yeah,
and
legitimately
thinking
about
that's kind of
creepy.
Yeah,
it essentially killed the whole idea of social gaming.
Yeah.
There's people who like to sit on the couch with someone, maybe not necessarily even playing with them, but watching.
Oh, yeah, my girlfriend would hate that. Yep.
Yep. It's like, I'm playing Mass Effect.
Yeah, you're just watching somebody.
My mom already,
like,
thinks I'm tweaked.
Like, what are you doing? I'm kind of looking at Miranda's ass.
No, but, like, that would not help the case at all.
No. Clearly not.
Oh boy.
My girlfriend lives in fear of the Kinect. She won't even come in the living room anymore.
She's like, it's watching.
It does. It fucking tracks you.
You should be like, Xbox. Netflix.
Yeah.
All right, so last week we were talking about the Nexus 7. Lorenzo really wanted to fucking buy one afterwards, and he does not have one in his hands. Why?
Very simple. I mentioned last week that I was really interested in the Nexus 7, and as it turns out, I was even more interested than I said on the podcast last week, because I basically buckled, folded like a cheap tent, and was like, I'm not even waiting 2 more minutes. I want one of these, like, right now. But
I can't handle it.
Yeah, I know, I couldn't handle it. The form right factor out. Is just amazing. But anyway, as it turns out, these things must be pretty damn popular, because you can't get one at any store within 80 kilometers of Toronto. Mm-hmm. So to me, that seems like an indication that this device is doing phenomenally well. Mm-hmm. And I think that bodes well for future development on this platform. So I think that's really awesome. That, I mean, it's a pain in the ass for me. I have to basically go, and by the way, if you're looking for one of these, and you're in a similar situation to me where everyone is out of stock of them, the Google Play Store has them in stock. So, that's where I ordered mine. And also,
Or you can go to Aurelia.
Yeah, fuck that. But the other thing is that virtually all the stores I saw, in fact, all the stores I saw only had the 16 gig model available. If you order from the Google Play Store, you can get the 8 gig model. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this kind of contributes to the whole thing. I mean, I'm going to follow up on this point when you mentioned the other story that you had regarding Google. It's like, as much as I like to say that Google's a bit creepy because they know way too much about you, they keep making devices where it's like, shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of like hard under these contradictory influences. They keep making such amazing devices, but at the same time, it's like, I'm kind of uncomfortable with this, but this is also way better than the devices made by anybody else, so I'm just going to shut up and take it.
When are you expecting to get yours now?
They're saying 3 to 5 business days for shipping.
That's not bad.
So
you have a nice podcast.
Yeah, hopefully.
Probably, right?
Would be nice.
So
we could use NFC capabilities too. I don't know.
Yeah. Is the Nexus 7 the first generation, like, of its kind?
It's the first Nexus branded tablet.
Right. But that's the only thing I'm weary about, is I don't like buying first generation devices.
Well, I get what you're saying there, but I know, while this is like the first Nexus-branded tablet, so it's like the first generation for Nexus tablets, there have been Android tablets previously that they did, or at least I hope they learned from. Well, no, they definitely did, because this isn't shit.
Right.
And I've tried using other Android tablets in stores like Best Buy and Future Shop. Mostly, they're kind of bad.
Yeah.
But this is good, so, it's not just good.
No, it looks good. It feels good. I'm not saying it's shit. I'm just generally weary about first generation devices. And I know you're saying that they have a bit of a history, but this is the first of its kind.
Right. But,
and that matters.
The thing you've got to understand is,
I still want.
Right. The hardware, like, Google is selling these at a loss because they put in a hardware specification in these things that is way more powerful than I think any other 7-inch form factor.
Oh, way more powerful. This is the Tegra. This is like the newest Tegra 3 processor, which is from what I've seen on the Google press conference, it's able to push out graphics very similar to the iPad 3. I mean, it's like this.
Right.
The processor in it is built to display graphics. It's got a 12 core graphics processor in it. That's fucking crazy.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, as Jay mentioned last week, I mean, you weren't here, so I don't know if you didn't listen to the podcast.
I was here last week.
No, he was here. Yeah. He was the only other one here.
Oh, yeah, you were here. Yeah, everybody else that wasn't here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you heard him say about the Nexus 7 then that, like, the responsiveness of it is amazing.
Yeah.
And
we played with it a bit.
Yeah, so. It's like, I mean, it's a first-generation device, but, like, for $200,
yeah,
I'm willing to take that risk.
Yeah, that's the thing, too.
Yeah. That, I would say that you're probably right on the whole idea of it being a first generation device when I actually think about it, because it is missing specific things like, basically missing one thing that I really care about, and that's like pretty much a antenna radio for like data. So
yeah, for some like cellular connectivity.
Yeah, so like LTE or 3G, it doesn't have.
But like for $200.
No, for $200, it's definitely.
Yeah, I don't care when they come out with one that has that. I'll get that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good that it. I think it really is going to redefine the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is why kind of Microsoft maybe in a bad position because they're releasing 10-inch tablets.
They're Microsoft. They're never in a good position.
Yeah, right.
Well, they're in a good position in the sense that they print money because people buy the OS all the time. But
well, right, but I mean...
Windows 7 isn't a bad OS.
But Windows 7 is a fantastic
OS. I don't know anybody who's buying Windows 8.
Right, but in terms of, like, mobile devices of any kind, Windows is... Microsoft has always been known for getting to the party a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah.
And I have some serious concerns that their Surface tablet may turn out to be another Zune.
And they'll weather the storm because they have so much fucking money.
Right.
Zune.
That's the bottom line. Well, okay, speaking of Google and new markets, let's get into Google Fiber.
So what you're saying is we're getting into Kansas.
Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City.
I love
City.
Kansas.
No, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do. There's some sick porn stars from Kansas.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. All right. The big story here is that Google is basically launching its own internet service. Well, not just internet. Also internet and television service. What they're doing is they... this is starting up in Kansas, and you need to pre-register for it, and it needs a specific amount of people to actually want it before they'll actually bring it to that neighborhood. But they're bringing fiber to your door. They're essentially giving out gigabit internet in Kansas City right now, where it is $70 a month for a gigabit internet service. That is...
Gigabit, not...
Sorry, yeah, sorry, gigabit. I know you actually did the calculations for
right.
it. That is, like, way faster than anything we have in Canada.
Let me give you this analogy for those of you in Canada. I'm on cable internet, and I'm on the second fastest plan on Rogers Cable Internet. So I have 32 megabit per second download speeds. That translates to an actual throughput around 4 megabytes a second because they use different standards to measure these things. Because,
yeah.
I don't know, bullshit, that's why. But anyway, the point is,
math.
If you understand the analogy, 1 gigabit internet is about 31 times faster than my current internet service.
And for a cheaper price.
Right.
And no
download
No,
same terms. Price. I paid $10 less than... It's $59.99 for the package I have. But anyway, that's
I
not
know
the
that
point. The point is, it's gigabit internet connection.
Uh-huh.
That means, like, my throughput on a 32 megabit internet connection is about 4 megs a second at tops. I mean, applying the same factor, that means you're getting download speeds of 120 megabytes a second. That's completely obscene.
Yeah, if
that's,
the service supports it, it's...
Like, if
it's
they brought that here, I'd be like, shut up and take my
And
money.
They fucking should, because why the fuck not? I mean, there's fiber all over the GTA. I mean, Bell owns most of it now, but they're fucking... They might as well be pissing on it with what they're doing with it. And there's a huge market for people who would want
yeah,
that kind of internet here.
God, I would buy it, like...
Oh.
Not, you know...
I'd buy it so
yeah.
fast.
But yeah. that's not all Google's doing with this service. It's what it's called Google Fiber. They're also getting into the TV market with this, but before I get into that, I want to talk about essentially what they're offering is free internet in these neighborhoods. Now, what it is like, it's a $300 construction fee for them to bring the fiber to your house, and they will give you 5 megabit internet for free.
So, if you pay the installation fee...
If you pay the installation fee...
You get 5
fee,
megabit internet, which is equivalent to basically DSL speeds.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
For free.
Well, as long as it's available.
Well, right.
But Google has a lot of money, so chances are it'll be around for a long-ass time.
Yeah, that's...
It's a pretty good deal.
Pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, but see, now you gotta get You gotta get a bunch of, like, poor-ass Americans to spend $300.
Dude, for free internet, I'd be like, okay, if we're one person short, I'd be like, neighbor, you're getting internet, I'm paying for it. I don't give a fuck. I'm like, I'm an old lady. No.
Yeah.
Internet!
It's happening.
But, like, you have money. Americans have no money.
Some Americans have money.
No.
Maybe not in Kansas.
Right, well, there you go.
Mm. I don't know what's going on in Kansas right now.
They should put this in Georgia.
Georgia peaches.
Alright. You do love you, Georgia peach.
Alright, but here's actually...
I'd like to download my Georgia peach.
This is what I think
fast.
Is the coolest thing about this story. They're actually... They're not just getting into the internet business here. They're getting into the cable TV business because they have... For $120 a month, you get basically the gigabit internet and TV from Google. So you get HDTV, you get an HDTV... Let me read this fully. It is
that's Jay for you.
Full channel
always
TV
fully
lineup
prepared.
For on a 2-year contract. You get no data caps. They actually give you a Nexus 7 tablet as a remote for your fucking cable.
What?
Yeah.
Lorenzo's erection just blinded me.
Nexus 7 tablet. Because I was forgetting something.
Came up through the table.
And I had to bring that up.
I am now pregnant with Lorenzo's child.
Hang on.
It is incubating in my nasal.
By the way, this podcast is from Kansas City.
I'm moving to Kansas.
No, that's where I'm. See you later, guys. I'm going to Kansas.
But yeah, think about that. Like, they give you a fucking Nexus.
My name to
you get television. They give you a Nexus 7 tablet as the fucking remote. They give you a 1 terabyte Google Drive as a one terabyte Google Drive. You know, like the basically the Google Drive or the Google Documents, which is their fucking cloud storage thing. And they give you a fucking DVR. So it's just like, are you fucking kidding me? This is a better deal than anything Comcast or fucking...
This is a better deal than anything anyone has ever done, ever.
I know.
This is like...
It's ridiculous.
This is what I mean. It's like, Google is basically Big Brother, but like, when you're offering stuff this good, it's like, I'm not even mad.
I'm pretty sure...
Just shut up and take my money.
They're eventually just going to end up taking over the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's also an optional add-on for them to give you a Chromebook. But honestly, a Chromebook, really? Do you guys even know what a Chromebook is?
That was a Chromebook.
Yes.
Do you know what Chrome OS... You ever heard of Chrome OS?
No.
Yes.
I've heard
of
it.
Okay, Google has made an OS, which is basically just the Google Chrome browser that opens up when you start a PC. They're also offering a free Chromebook. Or maybe it's not free. I think it's upgradable. Optional Chromebook. I'd rather get the tablet.
I just want the Nexus 7 tablet and the gigabit internet speeds. And to give money for television to a company that's not a regular cable provider because they should all die in a fire.
Yeah.
Regular
and you know what? I hope this spreads throughout the United States.
That's been like every podcast for the past 6
Well, it's because it doesn't get less true.
I know.
Yeah. They are literally the fucking devil.
I know. I find it really disturbing that Google's going to take over the world. But
I don't
also,
care. Hey, listen. If
you know what?
If they're going to do it by giving us such amazing products... Then I welcome our new Google overlords.
And he will die defending them.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, like, if anything, if worst case scenario, if this spreads throughout the United States, which it fucking should, it's just going to force the other companies to try to compete with this. And that just means better...
Or try and get it banned through the legislature.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably...
I wonder who has more money right now, Google or fucking... Well, Viacom has a lot of money, so...
Right, but...
Actually,
but what about the repercussions of, let's say this did pan out the way we imagine, and everybody in the U.S. has this fucking crazy-ass internet. What happens to hosts, internet hosts?
Eh?
You kind of...
You're done. Fucked.
Well, I mean, if you can put together, if you can
At
put
that
together
point,
your own web server,
yeah.
You don't really need a host anymore if you're getting gigabit... internet with no data caps.
At that point, it's not because of the bandwidth, it's because they're providing the service of like hosting, of actually like maintaining the servers
and
keeping
the security
and
the redundancy and generators and
I mean,
yeah,
you're not just paying for bandwidth for those things.
But it's a scary prospect for them. Mm-hmm. I wonder
I'm sure it's a scary prospect for them, but
didn't we crash our service provider like with our spam filter? Didn't our spam filter just lol fuck our service provider like a month ago?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, and that's why we all spend 6 hours a day fucking clearing out the spam filter.
Thank you, spam bots. No, I'm fucking... Oh, God. If I find you in Russia, whoever created the spam bot network, I'm going to fucking rape you. With this microphone.
And that's a big microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Look up Yeti. I'm coming for you with this Yeti, motherfucker.
That is the best unintentional double entendre I've heard in a long, long time.
I try.
But
yeah. I don't know. I'm happy that they're forcing people to compete. And if anything, since the United States providers have basically said, fuck off. I mean, like, Verizon was laying fiber in most cities as an initiative. But then they just gave up. Like, okay, no more fiber.
Well, no, because they don't want... No, actually, like, Verizon is, I think, basically trying to terminate their DSL service at this point because they want to use the wide area. It's like the, Rogers has it, it's the, you know, the Rocket Stick mobile.
Yeah, they're trying to go with that, with
right.
their plans.
Because they can charge, they charge per gigabyte with really low caps. So they're actually trying to discourage customers from signing up to any kind of hardline internet.
Yeah, basically. Which is
because
dumb.
They're
I mean,
assholes.
I actually know this story. I know this story from a person in the United States. I'm not going to mention who, but whatever. This is a person whose relative went to Verizon was like, I want internet. And they're like, oh, well, you could use this USB fucking stick and you have internet anywhere. And it's only $80 a month. It's like, okay, I'll get that. They use it and they get overage charged like $2,000-$3,000.
Wow.
Because of the data caps.
Right.
So, It's fucked up.
And Verizon wants to push that to the exclusion of any other type of internet.
And companies like Rogers and Bell are no different. We got friends, another Mike that we know, who lives in an area where Rogers is like, buy the internet rocket stick. It's like, yeah, no. I don't want to buy the shitty internet rocket stick. They don't even have DSL in his area. He's in a dead zone.
Yeah, clearly.
It's bad. But it's good that they're doing this because the United States, the infrastructure for the internet is actually honestly not as good as most other places. Like Canada obviously isn't that good either. But in Europe, they have much better infrastructure for internet.
Yeah, I know.
So,
yeah. It's good. Anything that hastens the death knell for existing cable companies and phone companies providing internet service is a good thing.
I agree.
Because fuck them.
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
I'm surprised they didn't like throw in Google Voice for a year and just give you a fucking phone number too. They could have. Would have cost them nothing. Literally nothing.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, they should fucking do that. Google, fucking listen to me, goddammit. Google Voice.
Sponsors.
I mentioned last week that we got Netflix at my house and we're like using it regularly. And I can't stand anything other than the best quality.
Well, this you could have the greatest quality.
Yeah, so
on several TVs at once.
You said you're on the second best plan at Rogers.
Yeah.
I'm on like the second worst plan, and it's an eighty gig cap. And
good luck with that.
It took us like literally 2.5 weeks of 4 HD episodes of Leverage per night. Done.
I know you're against the idea of DSL, but honestly, you should try out TechSavvy's DSL without the bandwidth cap and see if it's capable of giving you good enough speeds to actually provide the HD content.
I was thinking about it. I might give them a call again. Anyway, tell us why music labels are not sharing.
Oh, well, this involves the Pirate Bay lawsuit that actually ended this February, I believe. I'm actually trying to pull up the story so I can have the exact facts, but...
Once again, well-prepared.
Well-prepared. I have the tab there. It's there.
He's using tabbed browsing.
Tabbed browsing on Chrome.
Okay.
Google.
Oh, God.
Overlords.
Overlords.
We must spawn more overlords, guys.
Oh, Christ.
That was bad.
Yep. Even for you.
Anyways, yes, the this isn't the RIAA specifically. It's a bunch of music labels. They won a court case against the Pirate Bay, which involved that the founders of the Pirate Bay are basically facing jail time, and they have to pay $550,000.
Because they're pirates?
Yes.
In the fucking name.
555,000 euros to these recording labels, and I think the exact quote for this was that this money is supposed to go to pay for, you know, damages to people who made this content, and, you know, they didn't get... Basically, it was supposed to go to the content creators.
Yeah, right.
Now... The first thing that happened is essentially these recording companies are actually having a hard time getting the money from these people because obviously these guys are in fucking Sweden. They're pirates and they're in fucking Sweden. Where do you find money in Sweden?
Wait, was this decided in a U.S. court?
No, this was decided in a Swedish court.
Oh, okay.
Which is why it's all Euros thing.
Okay.
But essentially, the recording labels have basically stated that, yeah, while this money was decided by the courts to say that, yeah, this is going to go to the people who were damaged from not getting their content actually paid for, they're just going to sink this money into more efforts to try and stem, you know, to stem the tide of piracy. So instead of giving it to the recording artists, they're giving it to themselves to help pay for more legal battles to destroy more sites like the Pirate Bay and such.
Well, that's retarded.
Recording labels screwing over content creators in news shocker. Here's something that most people, I guess, maybe don't realize, but should probably look up. All of these recording industry lawsuits against people for pirating content, they never sue for the portion that actually is owed to the content creators. They only sue for the portion that's owed to the label.
Yeah.
Because they don't give a fuck about content creators. They just want their portion, their tax, essentially, for acting as the gatekeepers. They don't actually ever sue for the portion that is actually owed to the people who created the content. So people shouldn't be surprised by this. They need to go and educate themselves. The recording industry is the devil. Like, they're worse even still, I think, than the Motion Picture Association. The RIAA is doing its best to basically write itself out of existence by being so cartoonishly supervillain evil that everybody finally goes, you know what? Fuck off.
Yeah. And even, like, content creators are doing this. Like, they're just, like, saying, no, fuck it. You can release your own shit on iTunes. You can release your own shit on Amazon.
Right.
Why do you need them? You don't.
Right.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Actually, the funny thing about this was a quote from the actual article. According, and I don't know who said this. This was one of the lawyers in the case, I guess. According to, apparently, no money ever won in any lawsuit by the IFPI or the RIAA has ever gone to any artist ever.
So, thank you.
There you go. That is a fact, apparently.
So there is the lawyer confirming what I just said.
I like how it says, it's more likely the money will be spent on cocaine than the artists defending.
While true, they probably should have added hookers to that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Olympic.
I do actually want to thank... hookers. This story was actually brought to my attention by at Hologram Andrew on Twitter, a fan of ours. So thank you for actually sending this in. I don't know, do you guys want to talk more of this? I don't know what else to say.
Like, what else is there to say? Yeah, recording labels need to die in a fire.
They do.
Yeah,
they
that's basically all I got. Yep, you're good.
Yeah. I mean, I actually have nothing wrong. Like, the actual result of the court case where they say, yeah, take this money and give it to the recording artists who were damaged by this. But then they just go ahead and say, yeah, no, fuck that. We're going to use it to cocaine.
Like, cocaine!
And bitches.
It's fucked up.
It's a hell of a drug.
It's fucked up. I actually hope that they have a bitch ass, like, they're already having a bitch ass time trying to get this money out of these Swedish people.
Thank you for
people.
Sending that one in from 2004.
Yes. I liked 2004.
Someone
would have
said
it. Good year.
I probably would have said it.
Just saying.
All right, well, that's all we got, folks.
That's all we got. No.
What do you mean, no?
We got questions. We promised we were going to answer these questions.
Do we really have questions?
Yes.
Holy shit.
What the shitballs?
All right, we actually have some questions in. I'm going to start in with a question from a guy who I can't pronounce his name, so I'm just going to spell it out. It's
Akbar.
No. Oh. It's
Anwa.
Man, I miss Anwa. Yeah, we got to figure that
out. What?
H-O-C-H-Z. What is that? Hooch? Hotch?
H-O-C-H-Z?
People have been sneaking Akbars and screeching.
All right, whatever.
I'm sorry we butchered your name, buddy. Okay, his question is, are you guys interested in the Total Recall remake?
Yes.
I was originally against the film's existence, but I hear it's supposed to be more based on the original books. So.
Yeah, okay. Kate Beckinsale, sold. Take my money.
You're sold.
Pretty much. And Beale. And
Beale. I was definitely...
seriously.
In my head, that has to happen or I'll kill somebody.
I was definitely not happy about them remaking Total Recall because I fucking love that. Like, the other movies can't be as fucking stupid, but I love watching it because of how stupid it is.
Yeah. It is... But, might be the most campiest and most ridiculous action movie ever made.
I don't know, man. Fifth Element.
Get your ass to Mars.
No, but that's good.
Okay, but that's different because Fifth Element was on purpose.
Yeah, okay.
Fifth Element's actually good.
I also believe Total Recall, to, at least to some extent, would have been on
the
purpose.
The first, like, 50 minutes of fucking Fifth Element is just bomb. That cab chase, that's so funny.
Oh my god, that whole movie's amazing.
When the cab's talking shit to him, but I was like,
you know what?
Chris Tucker's like on fire in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
More ways than one.
I really don't know what to make of the new film.
He's
I saw the trailer and I wasn't giddy or anything. I know that it brought our city a lot of business, which is awesome.
Yeah,
I would love to see if I can recognize anything in the film, but like. That really doesn't say much.
It's supposed
about
to be
film,
like
right?
futuristic, so I don't really know what we're gonna see. It's
I don't
like,
know.
Hey, that pizza's got.
I know where
antennas.
They had their fucking hover cars on Lakeshore there, so we'll see what happens.
I miss those hover cars on Lakeshore.
Hover cars would definitely be an advantage on Lakeshore.
Yeah. You know what? I am disappointed that they're not getting their asses to Mars, though. I know that apparently wasn't in the books, but come on, you gotta get your ass to Mars.
You know what? It seems like it could be good. It could be bad. I wouldn't be surprised either way.
I'm going to watch it just out of curiosity at this point because I want to know. I want to know how the book was apparently.
Oh, Kate Beckinsale and leather, so I guess I have to watch.
Yep, sold. Yeah. Take my money.
So you have every Underworld movie then?
No,
I think I've actually seen all of them.
Yeah,
yeah, I suffered through the last few.
Yeah, the last few were kind of bad.
It's Kate Beckinsale, so worth it.
Yeah,
yeah. Except, well, Mike wanted me to say Whiteout, so yeah, ass. Also, the villain walks out and dies because whatever.
Yeah, that's true. That's
He's like, well, I'm the villain.
Well, fuck you, I'm
see
the villain.
Ya. I'm the villain, see ya. Let's walk out into the Arctic snow.
I'm the villain because fuck you. Like,
because
Jules.
Fuck you, that's why.
No, because Jules. It was literally a Scooby-Doo plot. Whiteout.
Yeah, it was. But
guys,
what was cool is that we were the only people in the theater.
Well, yeah, because...
We got hooked up.
Used the theater to hook up. Because you were the only people in the theater.
No. There was Mike. There was Steve. There was me. And there was the other Mike.
And there was no Olympic fucking.
There was rocket science Mike. There was no Olympic fucking whatsoever.
Next question.
Yes. This is actually the last question we have. Because we had another question, but Mike pretty much already...
Yeah, Mike cut your grass.
He pretty much already answered that question. This question comes in from a guy named Kid Rad.
Yeah, sick.
He's a rad kid.
All right.
What do you guys think about the recent patent lawsuits that allowed Apple to ban the Galaxy Nexus and Samsung Galaxy Tab 10 in the States? Do you think it's fair that Apple could claim that they own ideas such as slide to lock and rounded edges?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've already mentioned this on a little bit on the podcast previously. But
yeah, we did.
Patent trolling is kind of retarded.
Yeah,
but by the same token, I think I mentioned this the last time we talked about it. While individually, stuff like, you know, slide to lock and whatever, all these individual features that Apple has tried to claim they have patents on are kind of ridiculous. When you put it all together, the actual Galaxy S3 is the device that we're talking about, right?
No, the Galaxy Nexus is
what the Galaxy
That's
Nexus.
That's the one that got banned.
Right. It's
or maybe the Galaxy Tab 10.
Right. The specific device that we're talking about, its form factor really, 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 really mimics an iPhone to a kind of ridiculous extent. So I can kind
Most
of
definitely.
See Apple's point on that front. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, I can also see the counter argument that all similar devices are converging to a similar form factor. It would be like, you know, one tablet maker suing another for making a device that had a 7-inch screen and a bezel around that screen.
Yeah, it's like
a back on it. It's like, well, wait.
Yeah.
You kind of can't make this type of device without it having this form factor.
That was actually the basic argument against the Galaxy Tab 10, which is a tablet that no one really buys because it's not that good.
Right.
And it was actually declared by a UK, or maybe it was just a European judge. It was like, no, this isn't cool enough. It's not banned. It's not cool enough to be an iPad. Not cool enough to be ripping off the iPad, man. Just not cool enough. But yeah, I don't know. It's like that one
it's
was
bullshit.
The idea behind that one was the rounded edges and similar size. The Galaxy Nexus, I think, was the slide to unlock.
Right.
Which,
yeah.
Really? Like,
come on.
Yeah,
it's just kind of dumb.
Come on now.
They're doing it because they're trying to block each other's sales. I'm pretty sure. No one's better than the other one. Samsung's probably trying to sue the shit out of Apple right now. Who's trying to sue the shit out of Google? Who's trying to sue the shit out of HTC?
Yeah, they're all making too much.
It's a circle jerk. They're pretty much, the lawyers are sitting in the room and saying, "Who's suing who next?" I don't know. Let's fucking spit the bottle and start making out and sue each other.
We have Olympic sex.
Yeah. The Galaxy Nexus is just being used.
This whole podcast. I'm just gonna go.
All right, are we done for real now?
We're done for real. That's all the questions.
Okay.
Thank
you for listening to podcast number 35. Please send us more questions, opinions. If you have written a sonnet, send it to podcast@thatsyogarbage.com.
We want to read your sonnet to porn stars.
Visit the site. Check out the new
That'd
stuff.
Be an ode.
We'll be back next week with more. Thanks for listening.
My dick will give him the ode.
Bye, guys.